show. Thanks for hanging out with
us. It was fun.
We got Terry John sitting in with us tomorrow. We'll wrap up the week and get you ready for the weekend on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Russia is accusing the U.S. of masterminding yesterday's alleged drone attack on the Kremlin, supposedly carried out by Ukraine in an attempt to assassinate Vladimir Putin. Biden administration officials vehemently deny it. Former U.S. ambassador to Russia John Sullivan tells CBS Mornings.
It's equally as likely, maybe even more so in some people's opinion, this is a false flag accusation that the Russian government has done this to try to rally public opinion.
Russian TV showed Putin working at the Kremlin today. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky went before the International Criminal Court in the Netherlands.
We all want to see different Vladimir here in The Hague, the one who deserves to be sentenced for these criminal actions.
The suspect accused of shooting a woman to death in the waiting room of a medical office in Atlanta yesterday has been charged with murder. Correspondent Jeff Pegues.
Though police would not comment on the suspect's potential motive, a law enforcement source told us that his mother, who accompanied her son to the appointment, said that he was on medication for mental health issues.
He was taken into custody at a condo complex in suburban Cobb County after an hours-long manhunt. Protesters rallied at Florida state capitol against a series of bills sponsored by conservative lawmakers. They could help the governor, who is expected to run for the Republican presidential nomination. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe is in Tallahassee.
Florida's Republican state legislature is putting the finishing touches on dozens of bills all headed to the desk of Governor Ron DeSantis. On Wednesday, it was an expansion of the so-called Don't Say Gay bill that now restricts any instruction about sexual orientation or gender identity up to eighth grade. State Senate President Kathleen Passidomo defended the focus on an issue critics say unfairly targets gay and transgender students.
That's not what it is. It's protecting our children from harmful materials in our schools.
Have trouble remembering all your passwords? Google's trying to make it easier. Here's CBS's Jen Clark.
The company is starting to offer pass keys, where you can use a PIN, your fingerprint, or a face scan instead of a password. And you'll be able to use the pass key on different devices, including iPhones, Macs, Windows, and of course, Androids.
Hear the one about the star that swallowed a planet? Researchers say they've caught one in the act. They say an aging star as much as 15,000 light years away got so big it engulfed a planet the size of Jupiter. The study in the journal Nature says it could be a clue to the eventual fate of Earth, which is expected to be eaten by the sun billions of years from now. This is CBS News.
Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I'd rather ride a bike with my kids.
Faster!
Than ride in an ambulance.
I'd rather have a catch with my dog, Curtis, than catch pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with certain chronic conditions like heart disease, asthma, or diabetes, you may be at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20 pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Learn more at Prevnar20.com. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 72. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast tonight. Chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 45. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. Highs level off around 65. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 54.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome everyone to Morning Magazine for this May 4th, 2023. It is 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to talk to our friend Matt Lippert, agricultural agent at UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Right now, in studio, we have with us April Hargis. She is the instructor with Early Childhood Education over at Mid-State Technical College. April, thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
One of the more important questions I'm going to ask you today, April, and I don't mean to start off with a hard question. Okay. Did I say your last name right?
No, you did not.
I didn't think so. I could feel it.
Yeah, my name is April Hargis.
Hargis.
Yes,
thank you.
Correct.
Thank you.
Correct.
Mine's Mailoff. You can mess it up all you want. It's only fair.
That sounds fair. Mailoff.
Yeah, nicely done.
Okay.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
April's here to talk with us today about early childhood education. Mm-hmm. I think one of the more important topics we get to talk about with Mid-State, and that's saying something, because we always have informative conversations with you guys and the instructors over there. Greatly appreciate the time and say a good morning to all of our friends over at the Mid-State campuses. April, this is a big topic. I say if it sounds good to you, we start off with what this topic is.
Sure, I can talk a little bit about what early childhood education is. So early childhood education professionals teach infants and toddlers and preschool children. So if a person were to come to our program, our primary age that we work with is birth to about 8 years old, with the focus actually being like preschool, Head Start, things on that line. Mm. We teach social skills, health and physical development, language and communication skills, cognition, general knowledge, all through play-based activities. And I think what people don't realize is we do have Wisconsin early learning standards. So like there are standards, academic standards with the school district, we also have early learning standards for our program also. So some of the concepts that we teach, we might work with a child one-on-one, we might work with a large group, we might work in a small group, we might be at a center, we might be at a school, or we might be working in a family's home. So some concepts that the students learn before they become a teacher. We work on literacy and emergent writing activities. So that might be something like listening to a story, answering questions, learning ABCs, how to hold a pencil, write your name, how to write numbers. We talk about early math concepts such as colors, shapes, counting, more or less, big, little. A lot of those pre-academic skills that are needed once you get to kindergarten. We also work on self-help skills such as dressing, eating, toilet training. We work on gross motor and fine motor skills, so those are like the big muscles you need for running and jumping, or the fine motor skills that you need for like holding a pencil or cutting with the scissors. As you can imagine, we spend a ton of time on social-emotional skills, whether that be identifying your own emotions, how to identify somebody else's emotions, how to play with somebody, interacting with others, self-regulation, and then, like I said, how to handle your own emotions. Mm-hmm. Most teachers don't work in isolation. We have co-workers where we develop learning experience plans. Everything that we do is really hands-on and engaging, like I said, play-based lessons.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to this topic and everything, April, mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that I first thought of, just doing a little homework, getting ready for it today and everything, mm-hmm. I'm going through some of this stuff and I'm trying to think, well, when did I learn these things or how did I learn these things and stuff? And I'm like, well, I got to go ask my parents.
You don't remember.
We don't remember most of this stuff. And that's not a bad thing necessarily. That's just the way time works and memory works and everything.
For
but
sure.
Because of that, we have this disconnect of how important it is to learn those things and how to learn them and how we do learn them. And while there's plenty of kids that learn some of these things mm-hmm. from parents or brothers mm-hmm. and sisters or those kind of things, there's very few lessons that you couldn't learn from a pro or learn from somebody who really, has done their diligence on this subject. And the idea that not every kid does know how to do these things. I was a kid that was I was painfully, not shy, mm-hmm. I was just painfully bad at making friends. To a part where like Jerry Lewis could have started the telethon for me.
I don't know about that. I think you probably just were one of those slow to warm up kids that maybe you just like to kind of watch before you participated, made sure things were safe, and then you probably jumped in and you were all about it.
Clay, that sounds exactly me. Yeah, that does. That's really cool. And you're very good at this.
I was going to say, there are a lot of kids that are like that.
It shows the importance of these classes, of these things. Yeah. It's certainly first and foremost about the kids and the importance of that. Another thing that came that popped in my brain reading this and stuff is this also seems really supportive to parents. Parents having an outlet like this, having a something to lean on like this. Most parents have their parents or a friend or somebody like that to chime in and help that we lean on. We also know sometimes that can come with some judgment.
Sure. And the way things that were handled 20 years ago are maybe not the same things that how we handle them now.
Yeah. Having this kind of third party, this kind of like person who's not coming into it knowing you or having any of these, well, you know, when you were a child, you did the same thing or, you know, something like that. It's not that I am not taking anything away from the parent.
Of course not.
It takes all of these things.
I think it's meant to complement what parents are doing and be supportive of what parents are doing. So really, if you think about it, most families are working, and so think about how many hours a day a child is spending in time in maybe a child care setting. And so we do have a class that's called Family and Community Relationships, where we talk about how we interact with parents, how we support parents. But again, if you think about it, 8-10 hours a day, children are often outside of the house, and so we want them having good quality environments with people that are caring, loving, and of course, you don't want it to be a free-for-all. You want it to have some educational components and some support. And then, of course, we actually do assessments of children, so the assessment information is shared with parents. So as you have like a parent-teacher conference in first grade or kindergarten, we also support those family conferences to go over a developmental screening or some type of assessment. And then if there are concerns, let's say that there's a child that maybe has a speech delay or isn't walking yet, or maybe is showing some social-emotional concerns, whether it be they're on the autism autism line, the early childhood care teacher can talk about supports or make referrals, so that way we're not waiting to kindergarten to get assistance, right? We can get kids involved in programs to help them catch up now, or at least to get the supports for the families that might need them.
All really good points. The other angle of this course is the professors, the people taking these classes to be educators as like yourself and everything, and there are other career paths from this too.
Absolutely. There are lots of different options. So if I can kind of give you an idea, you don't have to come in and take every single class that's offered at Mid-State to get your degree. So we have certificates, we have technical diploma, and then we have the associate degrees. So if there's somebody that's out there that they're like, hey, I'm not sure, could I take a couple classes, but I still want to have something that shows I've taken classes. So we have infant toddler certificate, and so that's 6 credits, and you take infant toddler class, which would specialize working with kids birth to age 3, and then along with that class is guiding children's behavior, and as you can imagine, it's nice to have some techniques and some support to help with biting or redirecting.
Could he use some of those?
And so what's wonderful about these two classes is these two classes also go into our technical diploma, they go into our associate's degree, but then they also transfer over to university. So if you're thinking, hey, I want to be a kindergarten teacher someday, you've got 2 classes that are already that you've already taken.
And as a side note, so many of the things that they offer at Mid-State are like that, are transferable.
I've been with Mid-State since 2009, and the amount of transfer agreements or articulation agreements has substantially grown, and it's nice to see. And I think about how much money I could have saved.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
if I would have started
you.
Off
yes.
at a technical diploma or a technical college. We have wonderful agreements with UW-Stevens Point because, you know, they're in our backyard and our neighbor. But just about every single public university in Wisconsin, we have an agreement with. One of the nice things about early childhood education is we have what's called a state-aligned program. Mm-hmm. So that means every single class that you take at Mid-State is identically offered for the competencies, maybe not the way it's taught, at every other single technical college. Mm-hmm. So if you decide that you start here and you're like, hey, I want to move to Green Bay, all the classes are transferred directly to Northeast Central Technical College. Or if you're like, hey, I want to go to UW-Oshkosh next year, start with us, take the classes. I mean, we would love you to stay for the whole degree, but if you're moving, you can transfer to UW-Oshkosh. So we also have agreements with other colleges outside of Wisconsin, and then we do have lots of agreements with private schools also. So I'm just kind of taking over a look at my list. So Concordia, Grand Canyon University, Lakeland, of course, they're also in our backyard. UW-Green Bay, mm-hmm. UW-La Crosse, I mentioned Oshkosh, Stevens Point, Stout, Whitewater. I mean, just
Milwaukee School of Engineering, I see
well,
on there too.
Well, not necessarily for our early childhood.
Oh, sure, sure.
But
sorry.
Yes,
I just thought it was cool that it's on
well,
there. Yeah,
you know, and I saw that too because my son graduated from MSOE.
And, oh, right on.
And I'm like, darn, another one that I could have had at home to take yes, some more classes.
They make it so. I say this all the time. They make it hard for you not to continue your education.
Oh,
They make it like you have no excuses not to.
Right.
You know.
And so it's not only with the classes that are in the program, but also your general education classes. So, if you say, "Hey, April, I want to transfer to UWSP," you have like options for classes. So you can take elementary math methods, or you can take intro to college or college math. So. There are lots of different steps that you can take depending on what your long-term goal is.
I love the idea of these conversations with our professors at Mid-State helping people may find their path or their voice. So when it comes to that, maybe people listening that are a little on the fence of this mm-hmm. or intrigued by it, why should anyone choose the early childhood education program?
Well, you know, again, depending what your long-term outcome is of where you see yourself, and I always have these conversations with the students. We have four practicums, or they're going to be changing to the title next semester to field experiences. We have four field experiences opportunities where students take some classes, but then they get to also be out in the field. So if a student says, hey, I really want to work at Head Start, I make sure that they get a placement at Head Start. If somebody says, hey, I want to teach special education, they get a special education placement. I've had students that have sworn to me that they are going to be a four-year-old kindergarten teacher, and then I put them in 4K, and they said, I do not want to be a four-year-old kindergarten teacher. Yeah. And so we have this luxury that students can be out in the field anywhere from 8 to 16 hours a week, depending on the practicum, and they get to test where they like to be. So you don't have to make a commitment, because maybe you're afraid of infants right now, and then you take a couple classes, you get out in practicum, and next thing you know, you're an infant toddler teacher. So we have lots of credentials that are also earned within the degree. So Wisconsin Pyramid Model is a certificate that is earned in guiding children's behavior, and it talks a lot about positive guidance. Mm. And so that is a certificate that is earned. As I mentioned, Wisconsin Model Early Learning Standards, they will meet all of the licensing requirements to walk into a center. So mandated reporter, how do you identify child abuse or sexual abuse, shaken baby, you know, things that we should not be doing with a child, mm-hmm. Abusive head trauma, I'm trying to think of all the certificates, but yeah. There are a lot of people will be surprised about the licensing requirements just to walk in the door at a child care center. So people will earn those certificates. As you might have heard, there is a crisis in child care right
yes.
now. There are centers that cannot take in new children because they don't have staff. So there are several centers that I know that their infant room is closed because they don't have somebody who's specialized working with
infants.
Breaks
my heart.
Right. So we're talking about parents that are on waiting list for, wow. you know, the moment they find out they're pregnant, they go on to a waiting list, and then they keep their fingers crossed that they can get into a center. But in the meantime, there is room, but there's nobody to teach.
Yeah.
So I would say, 100% of our students get hired before they graduate. So if you truly want to be in the field, this is like there you will get hired.
There's such a combination of things here too, and I'm sorry, April, if I cut you off. I got excited when I was thinking of a couple of the connections of this. We're constantly hearing people that we need people in this industry. So one of the things that Mid-State is so good at, you put that tassel over from graduating and you go punch in to work. Like you go right from the graduation stage to workforce. Right. Oftentimes, even before you graduate, you start to get a foot into that world. Most people nowadays, especially after the pandemic, they don't want a career. They want a passion. They want something. And they don't just want a job. They want a career that's a passion that and be able to put back into their community. All of these factors you get with childcare.
Oh, absolutely. I would say I get a handful of students that come in because mom said I was good working with kids. But the majority of people that come into the classroom are passionate about what they're doing. They're excited about working with kids. They're here for the long run. I do have some students that this is a stepping stone for them, that maybe they go on to the university. One of the other things I didn't get a chance to mention is once you earn your associate degree, you can also be a substitute teacher in a high school, elementary school, junior high. So some of our students will also transfer to the university, and then they'll they'll be a substitute teacher while they are going on to school. So lots and lots of different pathways. And then if I can throw out just another one, if you're thinking about coming into this field, all the schools in our district, all the high schools in our district offer dual credit. And so dual credit is the opportunity to turn, to be able to take mid-state credits at high school for free. So again, why didn't I have my children do this?
I'm getting mad.
And it's not just early childhood education. There are lots of other programs that offer this also. So you have a potential student or a high school student has the opportunity to earn 3, 6, 9, or 12 credits. 12 credits is a whole semester. So you could walk out with a whole semester completed before you even walk into mid-state. And again, it's a mid-state credit taught at the high school. It varies from what high school that you are at for the number of classes you can take. But what a great opportunity to get your foot in the door. Again, see if it's something that you like, save a bunch of money. And then typically those students come and visit us sometime during the school year, so you get a chance to be on the Mid-State campus also.
The flexibility that degree offers you is so vital and important to this too, where that April's talking about, where, hey, I don't, this isn't working for me, but that doesn't mean that your degree is worthless or something like that. Move it into other areas.
Lots of different opportunities.
And these things are all connected here. It doesn't take a leap to make it. We get more we get more childcare workers. We have more parents that are able to put their kids into childcare and get into the workforce, which makes our economy that much stronger and better, lowers taxes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All this stuff is connected. And most of these things start with childcare. Most of the issues, a lot of the issues with the workforce and a lot of that stuff, it's not the only issue, obviously, but it is one of the majors, if not the number one issue, is childcare in this country, in this state. It's an important one.
I sit on some, there's different coalitions in all the different counties. And so there's one here in Wood County, there's one in Portage County, there's one in Adams County. And we talk about the crisis, but we also talk about people that are not coming to this area because they can't find childcare. So if you've got a doctor that's from the East Coast and they're excited about coming to a clinic here, you know, in our area, and they can't find childcare, we're losing good people. And not just to say doctors, but, you know, accountants and teachers and just people that need to be out in the field working for their families when they don't have childcare, or they're not using good regulated childcare, you know, then there's some issues. So it definitely helps the economy.
Very well said. I want to jump a little bit here because we're telling people why they should choose this program. Let's tell them why they should choose it at Mid-State.
Why should they choose it at Mid-State? So, well, we have the most awesome classrooms.
Yes, yes, so,
Well, of course, we've got great teachers too. But one of the things about Mid-State is that we are very hands-on. So when you come into our classroom looks like an early childhood classroom. So we have an area where there is, you know, we read stories, we practice reading stories. We have lots of books. We have lots of science activities, manipulatives. So you don't sit and listen to an instructor talk for 3 hours. It's very interactive, so lots of hands-on. We are very project-based, and so that means we want to, we do have some quizzes and some tests, but we want you to be able to apply that information when you get out into the field.
Yeah.
The instructors all have, in early childhood, we both have master's degrees and real life experience. I've worked in a child care center. I've worked in a school. I've worked in special education. I've been a director of a special education program. So we also bring real life experiences to the classroom. We have, of course, modern technology. We are constantly trying to update and keep up to date with our curriculum. So every 5 years, our curriculum is rewritten to meet the current standards or things that are needed. I don't know. We're just fun people.
Yeah, I mean, come. Yeah. You don't need much more. Yeah. You know, we already, we've already convinced them. I think we already have.
Sure we have.
And we encourage you to keep on listening because we got even more for you, more reasons for you to.
Yeah.
The reasons for this too. I think we've covered a lot of that.
Yeah.
As we're wrapping up here, I did want to tell people about the next step and where they should go. Do you want to go there, or do you want to talk about transfer options? I feel like you covered a lot of that.
I feel like I've talked about transfer options.
Yeah.
So what was your other statement?
I was going to say why the early childhood education program at Mid-State. Why we talked about that.
Yeah.
What does it take to be successful at childhood education? Okay, that I wanted to touch on.
Looking to make a decision like, hey, is this the program for me, right? And do I want to work in the early childhood field? So first you gotta like kids, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have to have a comfort level with working with all ages because we'll give you that opportunity. But it would be helpful if you like working with infants, toddler, preschools. And of course, like you had mentioned earlier, that family component, working with families. And so you don't have to be an expert on that, but you have to have a little bit of a comfort level. Of course, we'll give you some of those skills that you need.
And that comfort level can happen over time.
Oh, for sure.
It can.
I would say a good portion of our students are comfortable working with toddlers or preschoolers because they can talk and tell you, right?
Yeah.
But how do you figure out this baby's crying? What does that cry mean? What do they need? What do I do next? You get background information on infant toddler in the infant toddler class. But then, like I mentioned, in that practicum experience or field experience, you will be placed with a cooperating teacher, a mentor, that will help you understand that. So we don't expect you to be an expert. That's why you're coming in. Strong organizational skills. Of course, the ability to work well with others because you won't be working in isolation. You'll probably have a co-teacher or a director. Independence, motivated, and creative. You're going to be building and developing education plans. So again, you don't have to know how to do that. That's why you're going to school. But being willing to come up with ideas. Flexibility to work with different age groups. And so I think this would be some skills that would be important.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got them intrigued. They're going to take the classes. They're going to take them at Mid-State.
Yes.
What is the next step for our audience and those listeners out there that are looking forward to continuing their education?
Yeah, so if you're interested in learning more, you know, go to Mid-State, the website. You can always, I don't have the phone number, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
To be able to call Mid-State. I have lots of students that come in for tours. So if that was something that you're interested in, right now I'm tending to get a lot of seniors coming in and wanting to tour and find out more. But the best bet is just to go online and apply. If you're not a person that likes to go online, you can just stop by campus and somebody will give you an application to help you fill out an application.
And we hope that people know that when we talk about students taking these classes, student isn't an age. In our brains, we tend to go right away, people coming out of high school and stuff.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of people that have wanted to start a new career and taking classes. There are people out there that are maybe retired and they've worked in education or they worked in a similar, you know, system or something
right.
like, well, they really need child care workers. Maybe I'll go back and do this.
This isn't like, hey, I come right out of high school and I have to do this. I would say I've got a variety of students that are 18 to probably 60. And I'm guessing, I don't ask people if they
are.
So I've got younger students, I've got middle-aged students, I've got a little bit older students. So there's no age on this. It's just that comfort level of working with kids. And then if I can just put in one more thing, I wanted to just talk about that our classes are like 3 hours long, and I mentioned that they're interactive, but they're accelerated. So you're done in 8 weeks with a section of classes for whatever it is that you want to take. And we do offer some night classes also.
Yeah, I'm glad that came up, because the schedule flexibility that Mid-State offers you is like no other.
Yeah.
And it, again, makes it that much harder for you to say no to continue your education at Mid-State.
Right.
That number that April mentioned, 888-575-6782. That's 888-575-6782. Otherwise, you can find out more information about Mid-State at mstc.edu, mstc.edu. And for the audience to know, April hasn't done a lot of this before. You killed it. You did amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You were awesome.
I appreciate that.
Nice job.
Yes, a little nervous, but you made it easy. Thank you very much.
Nice work. Thank you, and say hi to the staff and everybody over there for us.
I certainly will. Thank you.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have more Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Home Furniture has been Central Wisconsin's home for the best in furniture for more than 60 years and four generations. Brands you know and trust, such as Lazy Boy, Ashley, Smith Brothers, and more. Our professionally trained consultants will help you find what you are looking for at an affordable price. Let our family help you create a space that's truly yours. Home Furniture, stop in for immediate availability or create your own piece. Home Furniture, Wisconsin Rapids and Plover.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fri-yays with WFHR.halfdeals.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more.
This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business.
Celebrate Cinco de Mayo with this week's deal from La Taqueria. Get a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. That's right, a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. La Taqueria, where passion meets flavor, service, and tradition.
Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.halfoffdeals.com.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Your home is where you should feel the safest, but the air there can be more dangerous, up to 5 times more polluted than outside air. Let us help you take the steps toward making it a healthier home with our Bryant Indoor Air Quality Solutions. We can help with everything from whole home air purifiers to indoor humidity control. To schedule an evaluation of your home's air, visit Bryant.com to find a local dealer. Bryant, whatever it takes.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 72. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast tonight. Chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 45. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. Highs level off around 65. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 54.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this May 4th, 2023. Your host, James J. Mailoff here. We're joined by our good friend, Matt Lippert, Ag Agent with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
How have you been?
Good.
It feels like it's been a while since we've seen you, Matt, and we've had you on the air with us and everything, but that's understandable. You've been a bit busy. You just got back from a trip, I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, was that recently you just got back, or was it the trip a little while ago, or...?
I've been back almost a month now.
Okay. So you've gotten your time back, and you know, your sleep schedule's back.
Yeah. I shouldn't use, if I'm slow to the answer, it's not jet lag. That should not be a reason any longer.
You went to Australia recently. Was that just for fun? Was that, did that have a little business aspect to it or anything? Or?
Well, it was for fun, but my version of fun. I went with a group called the Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin. So they've been doing a few international trips. So we went to see things you want to see in Australia, but we also saw, I think we saw 10 dairy farms.
Hmm.
So probably if you signed up for a tour to Australia, they wouldn't send you to 10 dairy farms.
Maybe not. Yeah. But I find it interesting. So, you know, going into this topic, one of the early things you and I talked about and you really opened my mind to was the communication of farmers from northern Wisconsin to southern Wisconsin and the way that this is maybe more now than it's ever been of sharing of information, of how important that is for this industry to survive, to be healthy. I hadn't thought about it on a world scale. I hadn't thought about that part of it before. Obviously, going to be different soil in Australia than there here in Wisconsin. You're going to have some different factors. But I would think that the core information or the core sharing of that has got to go a long way.
Oh, and we met some people that presented about the management of their watershed is what they're talking about. But they were organizing a trip for young, I think, 20s younger farmers to come to Wisconsin. So they were gathering names from us and so forth. But so yeah, there's a lot of exchange. And actually with this trip, so they've been to New Zealand, Ireland, Germany, and the Netherlands together. A lot of these people have traveled together multiple times. So there's maybe as much interest about catching up with the other travelers. But yeah, certainly it's very interesting to learn how they manage a dairy. And we did Tasmania sometimes. Mm. That's part of this country of Australia, but it's off the mainland. Mm. You know? So we are in Tasmania as well. So yeah, you're right. It's great to learn from other people.
What were some of the highlights of the trip as far as that goes, as far as seeing things like, oh, they do this similarly here, or, oh, we can use some of that here in our states? Or
so they do a lot of grazing, which we don't on our dairy farm. There are some folks that do, but typically Wisconsin dairy farming, partly because I think it snowed since May here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it has.
So it's been snowing since before... It snowed in October before Halloween through May. So obviously they can do that a little different. So they do more grazing than we do, but we saw quite a diversity of farms, more than some of these other trips, actually. So we saw some 5,000 cow dairies that were kind of using a U.S. model, rotary milking parlor. People that were milking robotically, the cows decide when they want to get milked.
Right.
Yeah, and then we had some grazing farms. We had a lot of people that were direct marketing their product, which very few farmers here in the U.S. They market through their co-op or they sell their milk. But there was one that was bottling milk for consumers in Malaysia.
Hmm.
There was one that was selling kind of an organic, biodynamic product, making ice cream that had a big following of people that liked their ice cream. Mm. And then, not to talk just about the dairy, other agriculture, we saw hazelnuts, avocados, wine, grapes, two instances of wine, and then we saw... olives for olive oil.
Oh, okay. Huh.
So we saw that, and then we got to visit we were in the harbor in Sydney at night, that opera house.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, it's
that's
first thing
really
I thought
a
of.
Beautiful building. Yeah. And a nice setting. So we did the touristy things as well. We made sure we saw some kangaroos
and
Tasmanian devil. The Tasmanian, most people have never seen one. So you go to a zoo to actually see one.
Yeah. I imagine they are nothing like they what we grew up on cartoon-wise.
No, but they're actually endangered. They have a a canker that's they give to each other that's not good.
You and I don't often get to talk conservation with this subject and everything. I like to put a lot of the focus on our farmers and needs or information that is great, but that is certainly a part of ag. That is certainly a big part of the industry, and that's something that I know is very important in Australia. I think that while you're touching on just things that you took in as a tourist, that also pops in my head too about this subject and the need of that and the importance of it, just as much there as it is here.
You know, there's a lot of things. Yes, it is very important. Just related to that topic, there's so many things that are the same but different in Australia. So you can go there and you're not going to third world country. Mm-hmm. So if you're not comfortable with that, you know, they have freeways and mm-hmm. good hotels and good restaurants. They speak English. Mm-hmm. But some things that are different is the country is not much smaller than the continental U.S. Hmm. But there's only, 30 million people?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
In the entire country.
It's crazy.
So, we have, 325 million people?
Yeah.
So that's different, and that relates to conservation in that there's a lot of natural landscapes. And we felt like we traveled a lot, but if you plot that on a map where we were never in the outback, mm-hmm. you know, where they have hundreds of thousands of acres on a ranch, or they call a station. We weren't there, but we still saw their sense of open spaces and really a lot of clean, nice, natural environment, pretty pure water, woodscapes, eucalyptus forest is actually what they do.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. Just that sentence sounds amazing. I can't imagine what it is seeing. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and hilly country as well. Mm. They are, as a country, very conservation-minded. The farmers would talk about the things they were required to do, you know, and I think they were in generally good stewards, but there's quite a few requirements in that country as far as you'll see fields and there'll be a tree out in the middle of the field. And, you know, wouldn't you cut that down so you just have a field? Well, we can't, you know, so they have to leave their tree. So that was a little different. We went to a research farm that was talking about measuring the carbon emissions in chambers on their cows so that people all over the world could model more about how efficiently cows were producing and so forth.
Yeah. So there are things that we can take from this visit that use here in this state or that we already have maybe. But that's interesting. Because I think that we often think, and this is me speaking, you know, projecting a little bit too, but oftentimes we think of our influence on other countries and other things. We're just as influenced by others at times.
Oh, for sure. I guess the sense I got about us in the U.S. and Australia is if you travel, you sometimes get dropped down a peg or two your estimation of how great the U.S. mm-hmm, is or we mm-hmm. are as Americans. But actually, Australia gives you a sense of being a common spirit. They're pretty happy to see Americans, and they felt like most of the military actions that ever happened, they were in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. They've been there with us. So it's a pretty friendly country that way.
Yeah. I want to touch on just a little bit other part of this when we come back. We'll take a break. We'll get that out of the way, and we'll come back with more of Matt Lippert from UW Extension here on Morning Magazine at WFHR.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fridays with WFHR.halfdeals.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more.
This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business.
Celebrate Cinco de Mayo with this week's deal from La Taqueria. Get a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. That's right, a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. La Taqueria, where passion meets flavor, service, and tradition.
Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.halfoffdeals.com.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 72. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast tonight, chance for scattered storms, lows level off around 45. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, highs level off around 65. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 54.
Your hometown news talk.
Didn't mean to do that. Wait your turn. Matt and I aren't done talking yet. Welcome back to Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It's funny, I was just telling Matt our system was acting up a little bit. We're here to talk with Matt Lippert, Ag News, Ag Conversation. And we were just talking about your trip to Australia and something that you and I also have talked about. I was curious. Here in the States, we've had an issue and we've talked about, I don't know the proper wording for this, but of young people taking over the family farm. Mm-hmm. And that. Did you see any of that, or did that conversation come up at all in Australia? I'm curious to know if they have a similar thing there.
So I think we've talked about young people not taking over the family farm sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
I think they have it more extreme than we do.
Really?
So at one point not too long ago, I don't actually know when, the Australian dollar and the U.S. dollar were on par. But now the Australian dollar is only about two-thirds of a U.S. dollar. They have a lot of immigration in the country, I think because it is so empty that they do need people. And people move there for economic opportunity. So you have to discount it for that 66 cents or whatever on the dollar.
Yeah.
But beginning wage, if you get a job as a waiter, which we encountered a lot of waiters at restaurants and stuff, beginning wage is $35 an hour.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's 20 at least. It's over 20.
Yeah.
If you convert to our money. So, and we met a lot of people. Where are immigrants coming from to Australia? They're coming from Asia and they're coming from South America. But they all need to speak pretty good English to function in the country.
Yeah.
So that same good pay that's attracting immigrants is making it even a more of a struggle to convince the next generation that they should stay down home on the farm.
Right.
Because they just have so many other opportunities elsewhere. So it's not a bad thing. They actually are decreasing milk production, which is interesting. There's a few countries in the world that are just kind of backing out of the dairy industry, and a lot of it's about labor. I know you asked about that retention, but another unique Australian thing is it's really can be an extreme. You know, they have 110 degree days, not a rare thing there.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have what we're still living our winter. I guess today qualifies as spring.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
But
Wisconsin spring.
But they have really extreme. They have really intense heat. Even in the more moderate parts of the country, it can get really, really hot. And they have extreme droughts, and then they've just had flooding. So that's hard on a farmer, too.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about conservation, another reason why farmers are involved in conservation is they occupy so much of the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to be.
So now, kind of piggybacking, bringing us back to the States here and everything, that we have that problem here, of course, as well. And as to your point, not as bad. But when we talk about young farmers, when we talk about the getting young farmers to stay in the industry or to bring farmers into the industry, one of the other things I've heard recently in some of the news I was reading from Brownfield and everything, we're seeing not a huge spike or a huge number, but of new farms being built, of people starting, like, I'm done with the corporate world. I want to buy some land. I want to start my own farming. We're seeing a little bit of that. So that's encouraging, I would think. But we're still looking at young farmers. We're still looking to make more young farmers, have more young people in this industry. I think for a lot of us looking on the outside in, it looks a certain way. You're actually in the industry. You have a farm. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing?
Labor, I just was answering some questions for a high school ag instructor that was talking to his students about labor. We've talked about robotic milking of cows. Mm-hmm. That's appealing if you can't find people to milk your cows. Yeah, let's automate. Yeah. We know about a lot of cow milkers. 55% of the, I just had this statistic in my head. 55% of the milk in the country comes from herds of over 1,000 cows. Okay, we only have a couple herds in Wood County that are even at that 1,000 pound. So that's not really mimicking our local situation, but those large herds tend to have immigrant Hispanic workers typically. So labor is a huge issue in agriculture.
Yeah.
So I think we were talking about, we'll capture this in the census of agriculture, which all of us have filled out our census. It happens every 5 years, but then it takes like another year before it gets dropped back to us, what the results are. But yeah, we've been finding new smaller farms, and then it's like, well, what is a farm? Because they have like a threshold. If you sell $500 worth of product, you're a farmer.
Okay.
Well, that can be garden size scale, you know.
Yeah.
What we see is new entrants. Not that there aren't any. There's some people that are well capitalized and come in and actually typically they come from Europe where they've sold their farm, and they come to the U.S. and they have 1,000 or 5,000 cow dairy. But a lot of the people that get in are, like you said, is they're doing it for their own personal reasons. They want to be involved in agriculture and their own business, and they probably start small and maybe in produce or farmers markets and things. So that's really a neat story, is all the diversity of different types of agriculture that we have.
We're seeing more and more, especially in the last 5 years, of people wanting to be more independent, wanting to be their own boss.
Oh, the pandemic situation, right? Let's make our own bread and let's grow our own food.
Yes. I wonder how many, obviously plenty of people, had that bread maker they never actually used. That kind of thing happened to a lot of us during the pandemic. But there, for every person that was like that, there's some people that found something there that found
and that's that glimmer. I'm glad you say that some people found it, because I do, as an extension educator, get these phone calls about, I've never scratched the soil, I just bought this property and I want to grow lots of things. And it's like, do you know how much work weeds are? Tillage. And so a lot of people, more people should have that experience, because then they appreciate more what farmers are actually doing.
Yeah.
And sometimes when they're thinking that agriculture approaches stuff, I don't know, too business-wise, not holistically enough, see how holistic you're going to be when you have to kill the pest that's eating your potato plant.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
When it comes to the issue here that we're talking about with, having more young people into this industry or keeping the industry alive and those things, again, as an outsider looking at it, I think that there's been way too much put on the ag industry when it comes to this. I think the rest of society needs to be helping with that. We eat the food from the ag industry. We get a lot from it, obviously. We should be contributing to helping keep it alive. Whether it's lawmakers, it's citizens. citizens, there are plenty of things that it feels like we could be doing outsiders to help this industry. Is there anything putting you on the spot and throwing this question at you that you can think of off the top of your head that it would also be beneficial to helping this issue?
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about what I see some groups local that I work with that are agricultural related address this more people being involved in farming. Mm-hmm. So we feel that too many high school age students get a wrong. So agriculture is an industry, and it's not just the farmer. It's the people that develop the fertilizers, the technology, the tractors, the knowledge to run the farm. Mm-hmm. And then there's people that process the products from the farm. So there's this whole spectrum of agriculture-related businesses. So we've had some career day-type events recently where the kid says, well, you know, I'm really pretty good at math, and I'm probably going to be an accountant, and so agriculture isn't for me. And then if you go Marshfield more than here in Rapids, but over in Point as well, how many places you might be the accountant for a potato farm or a cheese manufacturer, and you're going to be involved in agriculture because that's what the business is in that area. So no matter what, you know, they're good at computer programming. I'm not going to be in agriculture. Agriculture is deeply immersed in computer technology. So pretty much anything a young person's heart desires, they should not write off that if they want to stay in an area that's agricultural, that they might be doing some of that.
That is incredible. That is a really smart angle on things and a way to help this industry while also people not necessarily giving up that path. It's just taking it in a different direction. It's just going, you know, you're the accountant, like you said, but going into it in the ag industry.
Right.
That's going to benefit this industry as well. That's a really...
When the accountant steps out from the front office and says this inventory isn't right and they got to know their difference between their russets and their chipping potatoes or whatever, they're going to learn some agriculture in the process, right?
I'm so glad that came up, Matt, because that's really interesting, and I can't be the only one that grabbed a little hope from that. That found a little hope in that, and that we can always use more of that with anything in life. Wrapping up, there was one other thing I did want to touch on with you, and it kind of ties all of this together. From Brownfield News, I read an article recently about farmer sentiment improving in the latest ag economy. The mood of our farming industry, obviously every farmer is different, everybody's mood's going to be different. Overall, as a whole, as a sum, how are we doing with this industry? Is the industry feeling the mood of the industry?
I think they do those multiple times a year, and they're really pretty closely related to the economics at that time. So, like in our dairy sector, I'd say grain, a lot of sectors of agriculture, they just finished their taxes for 2022, and they had a pretty good year.
Yeah.
And so there are reasons beyond just the balance sheet, what your mood is, definitely. But that's an important one. And so you'll see that barometer. They do it also on bankers' attitude. What are bankers' attitude about the economy, right? So I think that's a reflection that we had some pretty good. And part of in central Wisconsin and dairy and so forth, it's partly been our ability to export to other countries. And some of these countries, in general, their economies are improving, and then when they improve, most of us here in the U.S. Don't upgrade our diet a whole lot. Maybe we eat a little less fast food and go to a sit-down restaurant more, or maybe we eat out more than at home. Mm-hmm. Maybe it happens a little bit, but in the U.S. we tend to buy a nicer car or when we're more affluent. But in other countries, one of the first things they do when they have more spending money is they eat a little better. And sometimes those products are products that come from the U.S.
Ag Discovery Days, that was one that I certainly wanted to mention as well. That's coming up, I believe. Or is it that we already have this?
The one I think you're talking about we had.
Right. Okay, that was. How did that go? How was the event? Were you out of state when that happened? Or
no. I was. So we had a career event at Marshfield. Is that
yes,
the one?
Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So they had it at Mid-State Technical College,
yep,
and they had it at UW Stevens White Marshfield campus, and they also had a whole ag segment at H&S Manufacturing. So that's a manufacturer that makes farm equipment. And so part of it is kids could learn about how technology is used in the making of farm equipment, how they design the equipment, how they use robotics for welding or painting. And mm-hmm. so, but then we had these groups of all these different ag businesses come in and talk about their business, and they're all looking for work. They're all looking for employees. Huh. So they're very happy to be involved with this.
Yeah.
So I'd say the kids were, so with this second year we did it. So we knew a little better how to interact with high schoolers. I'd say it was very positive this year.
Good.
A lot of engagement, employers looking for interns or kids to enroll as soon as upon graduation in, mm-hmm. in a training program or something like that. So I'd say it was a good event.
Very good to hear. Always enjoy the conversation, Matt. You and I always have a good time talking, and I know the audience appreciates it. If anybody out there has some follow-up questions or maybe wants to know a little bit more about some of the things you touched on, is there a way to reach you?
Well, yeah, we're in the courthouse. Mm-hmm. And you can find our phone numbers on the Wood County Directory on the internet. We have emails. So mm-hmm. I'm Matthew with two T's, mm-hmm. @wisc.edu, because we're part of the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, you can reach us by email. We have Facebook pages.
Yeah.
Phone.
Appreciate the time, Matt. I cannot wait to the next time we get together, what adventures you have been on in between that time and everything. We'll see.
Am I required to go to a foreign country?
Actually, yeah, you kind of have to now. Oh. Now you set the bar, Matt. You know, have fun traveling. We'll talk to you again soon.
This could get expensive.
It could, yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about
it.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you. We'll be back with more.